Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com. Time to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We're coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Second and goal, ball at the two, shotgun formation, handoff, Chubb trying to take it in, and he does! Touchdown! Contact at the one, he brushes it off, and the Browns take the lead! A winter wonderland in Cleveland!
Yeah, that was a nice little appetizer last night that helped the Texans in the AFC standings. You go, Cleveland. That was fun. A snow game to get the weekend started, Seth C. Payne.
Jameis Winston is turning into like a lovable Yogi Berra type personality.
A cult hero.
Yeah. He's almost like a type of personality that I didn't think existed in sports anymore. It's this like super, super goofy, yet incredibly capable unlike anybody else. He's very, very unique.
A cockeyed optimist.
He's having a resurgence here. He's having a moment here.
Cockeyed optimist he is, I say.
He is.
Jameis Winston. He's very,
a little bit
very
of an insult to Yogi Berra, given Yogi Berra's actual athletic and managing career compared to Jameis Winston.
But the
personality is just, it's unlike none other. Yes.
It's awesome. It's really cool to see. That was fun. That's why football rules. Nights like last night, man. You had an 8-2 team against a 2-8 team. And they were, you know, they were competing, and the fans were acting like it was the Super Bowl. You know, it was a crazy atmosphere, and that was the fans of the 2-8 team that were in the stadium last night. You know, so that was good theater. But for those who are just waking up, the Browns beat the Steelers last night, 24-19, in a super entertaining Thursday night game.
You know what I'd say? It was refreshing in that the Browns team would have every reason in the world to look like, oh, classic, now these pro athletes are just going to stop caring and just worry about buying their vehicles. They were out there. It felt like a rivalry game,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And there was trash talk beforehand, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And then to have it in the snowfall like that, I was happy for the people who were there because it looked like it wasn't miserably cold,
right.
And it wasn't all windy and gusty or anything like that. You just got to have one of those classic all-time moments of, you know, remembering the snow wafting down as you beat a hated rival.
That's right. The snow, you can tell when the snow is just falling directly like down, like north-south down and not blowing sideways. Like that looked like a fun winter wonderland game to play.
It's Norman Rockwell painting. Yeah. It was beautiful.
They cannot. I saw somebody tweet this, and I agree.
They helped the Texans out. Was the other big
They helped the Texans out. Yeah, the Steelers losing is a good thing for the Texans with six games to go in the season in the seeding. I know that I don't have to sit in stadiums like that on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. I know all I'm doing is watching on TV, so maybe I'm being a bit selfish. I don't want any roofs over any of the stadiums up north. I like these snow games. They're very fun theater to me.
I do, yeah. I guess I'm torn. It seems like if you're in the extremely bitter cold regions, I get that. I understand that.
Like Minnesota, that like I can
see.
Like,
where it gets almost like unsafe to even be outside type
fair.
Of weather.
Yeah.
So I get that. Yeah. But yeah, for the Northeast, for the most part, it's not quite as
outdoors.
Extreme cold, you know, ice road trucker type cold.
We're gonna get into the Texans plenty today. The Texans have the Titans, another rivalry game coming up on Sunday. Another rivalry game between one team that's relevant in the standings and one that's completely off the grid, but I would imagine the Titans are going to bring some of that same heat that the Browns brought last night to that game against the Steelers. But this Browns game was fun, and so is Jameis, and I feel like to get our day kicked off, we need some Jameis positivity. This was Jameis Winston before the game last night.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm depending on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio, at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
All right. There you go. Jameis got the live read in for the stadium.
Honestly, it's like he's walking around with a beam of light shining down on him all the time.
Of all people.
I will say, as far as kind of being like an advertisement for faith and what have you, I always admired guys like Jameis on a team. Because on a football team, you got a lot of, you know, very, very religious people. It's not, don't let them fool you. It was never just Tim Tebow.
Right.
But then you have some evangelical, then you got just some guys that grew up Catholic or whatever. But I was always especially in Jacksonville, like it was extreme, like in terms of just like how Christian an organization it was for the time.
Yeah.
But you had some guys who were like fire and brimstone, and then you had other guys that were kind of like Jameis. And I'm like, gosh, you guys, the fire and brimstone guys, like, listen, frankly, I'm a little insulted you think I scare that easy, okay? Give me what Kyle Brady is selling. That dude looks happy all the time.
Kyle Brady.
So I kind of gravitate more around to have my theological discussions with guys like Jameis or Kyle or
you
what have
you. Would have liked being a teammate of Jameis Winston, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, I'd love it.
Yeah.
I know I'd love it.
Here was Jameis after the game. After the 24-19 went back and forth, the Browns were up 18-6 in the second half. Credit to Steelers, Russell Wilson, they came back, took a lead, 19-18. Jameis turns the ball over. The defense gets the ball back for him. This is all like in the last 5 minutes of the game. And then Jameis drives down. Nick Chubb carries it in from a couple yards out, the touchdown that you heard bumping into the show. Here was Jameis with Scott Van Pelt after the game.
Well, I think it's just one play at a time, man. I'm so grateful for our equipment staff for providing us with hand warmers, providing us with our cleat scrapers, so we're able to go out there and do the best we can to make it seem as easy as it possibly is. But as you can see, the conditions did not define our result today.
It did not at all.
Do you see that?
Dude, that was
Will Anderson-like.
That was very Will Anderson-like. That's a good observation, Seth. There was a four-minute interview he did with Scott Van Pelt after the game.
Yeah.
That was the first group of people that he thanked for the win was
the equipment managers. And he 100% meant it, you know?
Naming the devices they were using. Hand warmers, cleat scrapers.
Well, okay. So this is the other thing about Jameis. I've never been able to figure out, watching him from afar, is he one of these guys that just is trying to get in front of the camera, or is he genuinely speaking from the heart? More and more, I think this is just who he is.
I think it is, you know? Too. I think it's authentic.
And it's not, like, he's given a big speech because he feels like that's what he's been called to do.
Yeah.
Not because he's trying to, you know, be this guy or that guy.
Right.
But I like that. There's another thing in terms of the way it works in the locker room. You get some guys, it's weird. It's almost like they treat the equipment staff like they're manservants, you know,
right,
like
right,
it's their
right.
butler or something.
Yeah.
And they kind of really love living the, like, and not that's the exception, not the rule, you
sure.
know. But then you get other guys, and it's really cool, like and sometimes it is the more superstar guys. You remember Michael Jordan with those guys that he was tight with, the security?
Oh, he was rolling dice with them and playing cards
yeah,
with them.
Yeah, you know,
stuff.
Like those
yeah.
older guys were kind of their best friends, or it was kind of like those were. Like Jordan's entourage was a couple of the equipment guys and security staff.
Correct.
I could see Jameis being that way. There's a lot of guys that, like, you know, they end up, you know, they go fishing, you know, they just, they're buddies with the equipment guys. Yeah. They go fishing with them and everything.
Yep.
I could see Jameis being that guy.
I could too. A text message early on here to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Can we get Winston on the Texans? That's an interesting one. I feel like Jameis is best suited with that big personality to be a journeyman starter on an NFL team, maybe not be the backup that attracts so much attention.
You know what? I don't know, man. I feel like I'd like to see Jameis here, and then in the offseason you get Case, Jameis, and
man.
Stroud. Instead of podcasts, they're out on some tent revival tour around rural
yes.
Texas, just going out and just doing, I just need to see Jameis out there in a tent somewhere,
dude.
Just sweating like crazy,
they
just
would have,
feeling it.
They
yeah.
would have all these people in Battle Red, like following them everywhere, like Forrest Gump across the country when Forrest Gump was
yeah.
running cross country.
The social media update would be, you know, the CJ Duncan people in the Brazos River. Just
God.
Yeah.
I love this idea. Never mind. I take it all back. I want Winston on the Texans now. Here was Myles Garrett after the game. Myles Garrett, who he's not had a great season, but he was incredible last night. TJ Watt is currently the favorite for Defensive Player of the Year. So here's Myles Garrett talking about that.
I mean, he spoke of the coin toss, but that's about it. You know? Like I said, I got a lot of respect for him, a lot of respect for, you know, all the guys over there. And, you know, the edge rusher in the league, but I'm number one. And, you know, that's from edge defender one, edge one to defensive player of the year. I'm the guy. So that runs through me. There's no other person being defended as I am or schemed or planned against like I am. So this goes to show, you know, you can throw that out the window. I'm going to find a way.
Has JJ tweeted about this yet? I got to go check.
Oh, I don't know.
JJ is the ultimate defender of the gates of the TJ Watt Defensive Player of the
right,
Year.
Right, right. And JJ, he's self-aware enough to know that he usually acknowledges, like, hey, obviously I'm biased.
Sure.
And he'll say, hey, yes, you're great. Myles Garrett is incredible, et cetera, et cetera, but this and that. I think the argument Myles Garrett has always made is that their defense doesn't send an extra rusher nearly as often. So it's more just the front four getting it done.
Yeah.
And whereas TJ, they blitz a lot, which is kind of like JJ or Aaron Donald when he was with Wade Phillips especially. Those guys got a lot of five-man rushes too, so they could single them up, but whatever.
Yeah.
I remember earlier we were talking this week about how just edge rushers are just weird. For, like, not good or bad, they're just always a little bit different.
Eccentric.
They kind of see the world a little bit differently,
yeah.
you know?
Yep.
I feel like, yeah, Myles Garrett, this is the first time I can remember, like, edge rusher versus edge rusher heat by opposing teams.
Yeah.
Like, where you're not actually facing the other player. Like, this is it's almost like wide receiver type dialogue.
It is. I think the fact they're in the division with each other, they play each other twice a year. They played last night. Amy and I are actually going to be at the rematch of this game in a couple of weeks during the Texans bye week. That's where we go to a different stadium every year for the bye week. And we, a couple months ago, picked Pittsburgh and Cleveland. And as the season was unfolding, I'm like, that game's not going to have a ton of juice because Cleveland sucks. Au contraire, mon frère. Like last night, I think, is an indicator. And I think the Steelers are going to want a little happy revenge in that game, too. So I'm kind of excited. I'm not excited what it's going to do to ticket prices. I've not bought our tickets
yet.
Oh,
you haven't bought the tickets yet?
No. So I'm not. And then we're going to a Penguins game the night before that. And those are pricey tickets, too, man. Hockey tickets?
Yeah.
Ooh, doctor, yeah.
How good are you at hockey? Like, you know, understanding it.
Oh, very. No. understanding it very good. My family had season tickets to the Hartford Whalers in the day. So I was a huge NHL fan growing up. That was my favorite sport growing up, was the Hartford Whalers.
Brandy and I have started brushing up on the rules in anticipation of Houston getting a team here at some point.
It's a good idea, I think. I think it's a good idea.
Was it the Athletic that did the poll the other day? And the majority of NHL players who were surveyed anonymously thought Houston should get the new hockey
huge
team.
Majority.
That graph, Greg Rajon sent that graph out. It was a deceptive graph. The scale was all off. Houston had 9 more votes than Quebec City, but they made it look like Houston had like 4 times as many votes as anybody else.
See, I assume they just got the number wrong and not the bar wrong, because Houston is a runaway favorite right now to get a team.
Maybe so. That graph, something was wrong on the graph.
Something was wrong.
Houston was the favorite.
Yeah, something was wrong. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It's a Football Friday. That was fun last night. I wanted to dig into that game right out of the chute, because that was a fun way to get the weekend kicked off for football. Let's dig into this Texans game. Texans and Titans, 6-pack, storylines for the game. We lay them all out. We've got some Nick Caserio coming up a little later as well. He was with us yesterday. Got a lot of good stuff from the Texans GM coming up a little later in the show. It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Stay there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get into it. Texans and Titans. Here's where the Texans sit right now. And I don't know, some of this may have changed by a percentage point last night with the Steelers losing. Steelers are 8-3 now. Texans are 7-4. It's nice. I'm looking more at the seeding in the AFC than I am the division right now. And you should be, unless the Texans do some very poor things here over the next couple of weeks. We'll head into the bye week feeling pretty good. 97% chance of making the playoffs, 54% chance of getting to the divisional round, 19% chance of getting to the AFC title game where they've never been before.
What was that last percentage?
19% chance to get to the AFC title game, to get there.
Wow. Wow. That is a 1 in 5, basically.
7% chance to make the Super Bowl, 3% chance to win the Super Bowl. As of right now, they are most likely, the Texans, to face the Chargers in the first round. 38% chance they're facing Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs.
I'm insulted by the 3% chance of winning.
Disrespect?
Disrespect.
Disrespect.
Yeah. I got a 1 in 33 chance. There's 32 teams in the damn league.
Sorry.
I don't know how math works, but I'm insulted. I choose to be. It's what I do whenever anybody throws math at me.
We're at that time of year.
What are you calling me stupid?
Mm-hmm. let's get to the six pack here. Storylines, thank you, Ben. Storylines for the game. Number one, let Levis. I'm using his proper name, and then I'm using Levis as a verb. Yes,
levitate.
Let Levis levitate. Here is Will Levis, Titans quarterback, talking a couple days ago about why things go so poorly in the red zone for the Titans.
I mean, I'm looking at what I can do myself. I think a couple opportunities, a couple times where I could have just found a play or gotten out of the pocket and made something happen. But no, nothing comes to mind right now that's like glaring as to why it's not happening down there. We just got to do a better job doing our jobs.
The Titans fans hear that. They're like, no, don't get out of the pocket and try to make things happen. Right, that's when you've lost games. So he has thrown an interception in all but one of his 7 starts this year. He's a turnover machine. And the Texans are generating a lot of turnovers right now.
That was the second game of the year when he didn't throw that interception. He has played more efficiently, and he's made fewer boneheaded, idiotic, what-are-you-thinking type decisions in these last 2 games since he's been back. So remember, he played the first 5 games of the year, was out for 3 games, and then he came back versus the Chargers a couple weeks ago. He's played better. He has thrown 3 interceptions in the last 2 games as he's been playing better and more efficiently. I feel very confident the Texans are going to take the ball away from this Titans offense.
I do, too.
The Titans defense is for real. They need to be respected. They match up very advantageously for them against this Texans offense. But in terms of what the Texans defense can do to Will Levis, they can very much make him look like the worst version of Will Levis.
Yeah, there's 17 turnovers in the last 6 games for the Texans defense. So they have been ball hawking for sure. All right, number 2, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter reunited, and it feels so good. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember last year, I believe it was the home Titans game, that Will came back from his ankle injury last year in week 16 or 17, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And if you recall, he played 12 snaps and had 2 sacks.
Right. Yeah, it was very productive. It was one of the most efficiently productive things we've ever seen. It was like Bruce Lee coming in there with a little 3-inch.
He was. Yeah, no, he was great in that game. Do you think they ease him back in kind of like they did with Nico last week, or do you think Will is full go for Sunday?
I don't try to see if he can ankles are dicey, man. Yeah. I don't know. I think they probably get a healthy rotation. I mean, they always rotate anyway, but yeah, maybe they try to keep him in more just for pass rushing situations. That's a good question.
Yeah, now we should point out DeNico Autry did not practice again yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's got a knee.
They're banged up. Fadakasi's banged up.
He didn't practice either. Yeah, DeNico Autry is listed with a knee and an oblique, which on a 33-year-old, I don't like seeing oblique on there.
Yeah, I mean, he went down pretty hard in the game for a while there. I mean,
Autry
it looked
did?
Like he was. Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, I look, this defensive line versus the Titans' offensive line, the offensive line is a disaster for the Titans.
Yes.
Everywhere except J.C. Latham, the draft pick, he's played pretty well and looks like he was probably a good pick.
He's their left tackle.
Yeah, right? their left tackle, sorry. But their right tackle has been a revolving door. It's just been a nightmare for them. And if Will and Daniil do play, they'll probably have whatever a disagreement looks like between those two. They'll be like, sir, I demand that I would I am more advantageously suited to be over this man. It would be very polite. They're not gonna be fighting each other on the sideline.
Yeah,
or anything.
They're
gonna be fighting to get to line up over the right tackle.
That's interesting. The two of them arguing because they have very similar energy levels as players on the field. They have very opposite energy levels as human beings out in society. Like Will is like this wide eyed maniac in a good way.
They're going to get into one of those hyper-considerate fights where the other is each just trying to push the other one over towards the right tackle. Like, no, you deserve this, buddy.
Oh, you get
like,
this.
No, you.
No, you just.
This is your time to shine.
You just came back this game. I want you to ease your way. Play against the bad guy, the bad player over there.
I just looked at the ESPN Edge pass rush win rate, and which I like. I like those better than those NFL Next Gen pressure stats. Yeah.
What'd you find out?
I think they're a little more messed up. He's second in the league right now in edge rush win rate.
Who's he? Which one?
Daniil Hunter.
Daniil Hunter. Okay, gotcha. Okay, second.
Oh, did I leave that little detail out? Apologies.
I didn't. If you did, I didn't hear it. You may have said who it was. I just didn't hear it.
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson still leads because he's still got enough qualified plays at 35% win rate. Daniil Hunter is at 27% win rate.
So as soon as we get to the point where Aiden Hutchinson hasn't had enough at bats, it's going to be Daniil leading the way.
Yeah, and Will Anderson is at seventh for pass rush win rate.
That's going to be fun having the two of them back together. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, no big plays. Do not give up any big plays, Texans. This is one of those offenses like the Cowboys, like the Colts earlier in the year, where the only way they can get points on the board is if you give up 60-yard chunk plays. Like the Cowboys' only touchdown last week was Jeff Okuda getting put in a spin cycle at the line of scrimmage and Kevontae Turpin taking a catch and run to the house. The Titans themselves last week against the Vikings scored 13 points. They had one touchdown. It was a 98-yard bomb from Levis to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Mm-hmm. So no, do not give up. If you keep the chunk plays to just being little bite-sized morsels like 20 yards instead of 60 yards, and you don't turn the ball over on offense, you will win this football game.
This, from what I can tell, and this is my suspicion from watching the Titans, and then I just from reading bloggers, and they still have newspapers in Nashville. my suspicions were confirmed. Calvin Ridley is very much a threat. Yeah. Calvin Ridley's been playing very, very well.
Yeah.
His numbers are not up to how he's played because of bad quarterback play.
Right.
Through either Rudolph or Levis at various times of the year. So Levis starting to look like a better quarterback now over these last couple weeks. Don't sleep on the Calvin Ridley threat. Things have been out of sync and just not quite right. But if they click at the right time, we've seen the Texans defense has this ability to play really, really, really well and then let up a huge play. They are very much a threat in the wide receiving corps.
Do you think that D'Amico has Stingley do the travel with Ridley thing?
Yeah, I know. I don't. It doesn't seem to be necessarily rhyme or reason as to when they do that.
Right.
And I think some of it has to do with how much they just want to keep the other guys stationary as much as possible. If you're incorporating new guys in or backups, you might want to just get them comfortable playing on one side of the field.
Yeah.
So if Lassiter is back, I don't think this is the week they do it. I think they rely on the pass rush to get it done.
Yeah.
And especially with Lassiter and Stingley out there, I don't think they have Stingley travel.
Text message, 5-hour energy fan line. Will and Daniil will compromise, both line up over that poor right tackle and destroy his world. Hey, let's both line up over him. Okay. And Latham's over there like, oh, thank God. Ugh.
The other, L'Jarius Sneed, because some people are probably wondering, what about L'Jarius Sneed? He's missed six straight games with a quad injury.
Yeah, is he on the injury report? I always forget to look at the bottom of the injury report where the opponent is. I always look at the Texans.
I don't know. I just read an update from last night that he was going to miss this week's game again.
Oh, okay. So he won't be out there. Gotcha. Okay. All right, number four. Contain Jeffrey Simmons. Here's D'Amico Ryans earlier this week on the Titans defense, which, as Seth pointed out, is it is a good unit. Here is D'Amico Ryans about the defense and Jeffrey Simmons.
With Tennessee, their defense, you know, it stands out starting up front with Simmons and Sweat, like two big players that are hard to move. They make it difficult, very difficult to run the ball against them because they do such a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage, and they're two guys who are really hard to displace just because of their size and their power. So that is the focal point for us, is how do we handle right their defensive line, because that is their strength right now. They do a really good job on, you know, third down, playing tight coverage, forcing you to make plays. I think they're just really, they're in sync. They're coached really well. Their guys play hard. It's going to be a really tough defense to go against. They do a really good job, just not only schematically, but also just the way that they're in the style that they play. They play an aggressive style of defense, and it's challenged a lot of people, and it's going to be a challenge for us.
And this is the reason where the Texans being 8 or 9 point favorites doesn't quite feel right, because this is an extreme strength for the Titans versus an extreme weakness for the Texans.
Yeah.
This, we talked about some of the win rate numbers and everything. PFF's interior defender win rate versus the run, like how often they win. Of the top 12 players in the league, three of them are interior defensive linemen for the Titans.
Wow.
So it's a good Jeffrey stat Simmons, right there. Tavondre Sweat, and Sebastian Joseph Day.
That's a good one.
All very, very good against the run. And this is something that, look, Juice Scruggs is still the weak link out there right now. Shaq Mason isn't playing like he used to. I'm encouraged by Jarrett Patterson. But versus the run especially, some of these plays where the Texans have just... A drive has been killed by an interior defensive lineman getting driven back 7 yards right off the snap.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for. Don't have those horrendous plays this week. If you can play competently versus these interior defensive linemen, then it doesn't get any tougher than this. But this is the big challenge for the Texans.
Do you think that, let's open the fifth can here. Because I want to see CJ get right here. I know it's a good defense he's going against. You're back at home. It's, you know, there are places to attack. You've got Nico Collins back, presumably at a much more heavy snap count than he had last week. So I'd like to see CJ get right. But just playing off of what you were saying about this interior of the Titans defensive line, do you think it affects play calling, especially early in the game? Could you, like, I could see Bobby doing a lot of the quick, get the ball out quick stuff to maybe loosen that front up a little bit?
Well, this is the kind of game where if you felt good about your outside zone, it's the best versus teams that have stud interior defenders is you get them running. And it's one of those things that over time, it adds up into the third and fourth quarter. And this is one thing about an actually successful zone running attack. One of the beautiful things about it is that it's when you talk about running to, you know, loosen things up and everything, usually people think of like, oh yeah, you're going to punish them and they're going to get tired, they're going to wear down. With a good zone running team, you just physically exhaust the defensive linemen. They're just running sideline to sideline all day. And the Texans they showed progress and had some really nice plays. That first Joe Mixon zone run cutback was beautiful.
Really nice, yeah.
Yeah, that would be ideal as if you can do that. So I don't have faith that they can right now, but I think they have improved. So we'll see.
Tiring out Tavondre Sweat. That's the goal. Like, get him
the
running.
Ideal, the picture-perfect moment of it was back when the Broncos beat the Packers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because by the end of the game, Gilbert Brown. For the dime, a huge defensive lineman. Now he's like probably standard. But he was just gassed by the end of the game.
Yeah, he was a big dude. My prediction, I have Texans 27, Titans 13. I feel a little too comfortable with this game. I said this to you before. Now, you've made me a little more nervous. I said to you during the break, I usually err, especially over the last month and a half, I've been erring to the side of being really nervous about these Texans games. And unfortunately, I've been proven right more often than I would care to this season.
Mm-hmm.
They're still 7-4. I'm not throwing shade or anything like that. But this last month hasn't been great. I am a little too cavalier about this game right now, I think.
I think it's partly the AFC South dynamic too, where some of these divisional games, it just it feels like too much of a mismatch, and you don't respect the Titans to begin with, right? You've got that. Let's just let me handle it, this small job here before I move on.
Right,
yeah. You're like, at risk right now.
Last night should be a warning shot to me, right? Like the horrible, horrible Browns beating the Steelers, who every topic on TV this week has been. Are the Steelers a top three team in the AFC?
Yeah,
are they? You know, so I'm a little too comfortable with this game right now. I need to get more nervous.
I need to play some Al Michaels to juice you up a little bit. He sounded kind of into it last night. I think he enjoyed having the snow game.
I couldn't hear it. I was out with Ross Tucker. We were at Tom's Watch Bar downtown, so I couldn't
hear
it.
You're not going to hear it over Ross's
play-by-play. No, it was fun. We had a good time. Ross is on the call for CBS this weekend for those who are going to be watching the game on television. Enjoy yourself some Ross Tucker this weekend. All right, headlines. We'll get to... the Texans, we got some updates yesterday on this show from Nick Caserio on a couple of Houston Texan injury news. Thursday Night Football, we'll get you up to speed on that. Best player in college going pro. We got the Rockets. We got a whole bunch of stuff we'll get to in headlines, and it's coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to today's headlines. Nick Caserio was on with me and Seth yesterday morning, Texans GM.
Allegedly.
He was for 45 solid minutes, man. You can find the interview up on our podcast page. He was good. We had a lot. We'll hear from Nick more on some of the topics with the team at the top of the hour. But let's get to some of the injury news. A lot of people wanted to know what's going on with Christian Harris. Here was Nick Caserio on where things stand with the injured Texans linebacker.
Definitely making some progress. I would say at some point here, he'll probably hit the field. So, unfortunately, I think this is one of these situations. I don't want to say, you know, 1 in 1,000, but, I mean, it's just the circumstances are just such that it's very unique. Hopefully, once we get through this, there won't be any residual. But I would say making progress. I'd say there's a shot, you know, we're going to see him here at some point. Certainly don't want to put any timetable or date on it, but certainly moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, on reflection, he said, I don't want to say 1 in 1,000. That was the one that...
but you did!
I should have had him clarify. Was it a 1 in 1,000 type of injury, like it was just that rare, or is it a 1 in 1,000 chance of him returning at all? Because it feels... I'm less optimistic than I was before talking.
Yeah, I'll add that answer to the one he gave us the last time we asked him about Christian Harris, and it just sounds like this is a very unique injury situation that has had a lot of twists and turns that were unexpected. That's
maybe he's got an actual gremlin living in his calf.
Maybe.
They're trying to figure out what the humane thing to do is, whether to kill it or you know, try to rescue it.
Hanging out with Braggy, yeah. So that was the update on Christian Harris. One more update. We asked him, hey, C.J. Stroud showed up on the injury report last week with a right hand injury. Is C.J. banged up right now?
Yeah, I think that's much ado about nothing. So, I mean, you know, part of that is, you know, the league has, you know, protocols in place. So we're always going to make sure that we're in compliance, but no issues there whatsoever.
All right. So those are the updates on injury. And the injury report came out again yesterday. It was the same as Wednesday. Will Anderson was practicing again. Danico Autry, Foley Fatakasi, Blake Fisher. All out. Blake Fisher out. This concussion's going to keep him out a couple of weeks now. This was kind of a under-the-radar concussion protocol situation with Blake Fisher.
So they're going up against this Texans offensive line, going up against a really good Titans defensive line. I'm torn with Laremy Tunsil because if he weren't leading the league in penalties by a healthy margin right now, it would be easier for me to excuse that illegal man downfield because it was kind of close. I think it was definitely a penalty, but it was sometimes guys get away with that. But he was trying to do the right thing. He was trying to sell the run aggressively, you know? But he just went too hard. If anything, he tried too hard. And that's the effort I want out of him in the run game and on the deception side of things. It's one thing the Texans have been, they've had a hard time, Dan, selling the deception.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you wanted. He just did a little too good a job of it.
His heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll see. Laremy's been better with the penalties. You know, like it was bad. He's leading the league now, by and large, because he had a really bad few weeks back in the first month of the season.
With the offensive line, if you're looking for baby steps along the way or what have you, I think hard to notice it sometimes, but they were so abysmally bad at doing the simple things right early in the season. that you kind of forget, oh, yeah, okay, wait, they've cleaned up a lot of these pre-snap penalties, and, all right, they do have more evidence that they know how to run block. It's just, it's not coming in one huge chunk. But, they'll be tested. They'll be tested very – Rivers is a very good front seven for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, it's a huge storyline for the game, no doubt. Texans-Titans, noon kick on Sunday here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I have you for Texans Countdown starting at 9 a.m. Thursday Night Football last night, the Browns beat the Steelers. That helps the Texans in the overall standings in the AFC. Browns beat the Steelers 24-19 on a Nick Chubb touchdown with a little over a minute to go in the game. Jameis Winston was at quarterback for the Browns last night. It was a blizzard in the second half of this football game. It was a fun watch. It really was. Here was Jameis on how they were able to beat the Steelers last night.
Well, I think it's just one play at a time, man. I'm so grateful for our equipment staff for providing us with hand warmers, providing us with the our cleat scrapers, so we are able to go out there and do the best we can to make it seem as easy as it possibly is. But as you can see, the conditions did not define our result today.
Yep. I loved it, man.
Cleat scrapers.
He thanked the equipment staff first and foremost. Yes. That was like the first shout out he gave.
That was.
I like that. Yep. I like that a lot. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Jameis and the game last night. Dude, the touchdown he scored last night. Him hurtling into the end zone?
It was, yeah, you know, and the big thing about the Steelers was there's some questionable decisions that Tomlin made in game management at the end there. He gave the Browns an extra third down at one point. But, I mean, just some of the plays Jameis made, and he has made when he's been a starter here, and this is versus that Steelers defense in the snow, it's impressive. It's really, really impressive.
Yep.
Good for him.
It was, yeah, happy for Jameis. Travis Hunter, Heisman, heavy Heisman favorite right now, Colorado do-everything player. He's a wide receiver and a cornerback. He announced on a Zoom call yesterday that he will be going pro. No big shock there. He's the not only the Heisman front runner right now, every mock draft that I click on has him as the number one overall pick in the draft, too.
And
And he intends on playing both sides of the ball at the next level as well, wide receiver.
Belichick, man. Like Belichick, if he's thinking about going back into coaching, who just absolutely loves the guy that's capable of doing multiple things, but also so rarely gifted. Yeah. That would be interesting. Yeah. That would be really cool to see. That's the kind of thing that might stoke the fires of a guy like Belichick, make him really think of, instead of a, you know that he would rather take Travis Hunter than like a marquee quarterback with a number one overall.
100%.
Yeah, that would be his kind of thing.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think Travis Hunter can do that at the next level? Play both sides of the football.
I mean, like in spot duty on one side, you got to pick a specialty. I think. Yeah. It's not unless it's you want to be Shohei Ohtani or something. It doesn't work anatomically. It just doesn't work the same way.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of punishment to take for sure if you're playing, you know, full snap counts on both sides of the football. He's not a big dude or anything like that.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's also too, I think the nuances of being a receiver in the NFL, like, there's some mental work to it.
Yeah,
I don't think it's not gonna be like 50% on the offensive side of the ball, 50% on the defensive side of the ball. I think it would be there'll be packages on the other side of the ball.
I'm going to med school and law school at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be a doctor, a lawyer, and I'm graduating in 3 years. Like, you're not going anywhere near anything involving me. You little weirdo.
That's right. Yeah, in either realm. The Rockets were off last night. They've got two games against Portland this weekend, so really good chance to continue to build on this little run they've had of late. I believe they've won 8 out of their last 10. They're 11-5 on the season. Friday and Saturday nights, so some home back-to-backs with Portland. The NBA is doing a lot of this now with teams traveling. They do like a little doubleheader action. Rockets had one with the Clippers last week. So that's your Rockets action. Shohei Ohtani, you just mentioned him, Seth, and Aaron Judge, unanimous most valuable players for their respective leagues, as announced last night.
It's a regular season award.
Regular season. I know. I'm watching Aaron Judge doing an interview on SportsCenter after they announced it. I'm like, oh, are they going to lob softballs at you? Or are they going to bring up
disgusted with yourself, Aaron Judge?
Topics. Yes. You suck in the postseason.
Leading by example, are we? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. The guy that wears the C just doesn't show up in the playoffs.
That's right.
And it's been the scourge. That's what this century's Yankees team is being known for.
Yep.
Sean.
Very, very light representation for the Astros in the voting for the MVP of the American League. You know, you vote 1 through 10, these writers do. So you put 10 names ranked on the ballot. Yordan finished 9th. Altuve got a few votes, and Framber Valdez got a little...
I wish I could work up my disrespect.
No, you know, but I think it's indicative of maybe like the overall talent level of the team decreasing.
That's what I mean. Like I know that's not a huge shock or surprise.
No, it's not. You know?
There wasn't anybody that was really in the conversation other than what Kyle Tucker before he got injured.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker
was scraping right up there with Judge and Soto and everything.
If Kyle Tucker had played a full season, he would have been top 10 easy and probably top 5, I would say. So that's a good point. Missing Kyle Tucker is probably a big reason they weren't represented on there. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Let's get the scouting report on the Tennessee Titans from GM Nick Caserio. We asked him yesterday, too, about the offense. Bobby Slowick, the offensive line, Joe Mixon's workload. We'll hear from that. And the circle of swarm. This is going to be the hardest circle of swarm to do so far this year. We'll do that at 7:20 here on the show. Stay there.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.